until it was sold, they rented it, and it cost, the rent cost $65. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, Fritz Kramer had arrived from Australia. He was another one of the friends. I told you that everybody was fleeing Vienna.
Yeah.
He was also, he had signed up with a group. He was a wonderful, marvelous pianist, and had signed up with a group which was called the Comedian Harmonists, and went with them all over the world as their accompanist and arranger and so on. He had always been very fond of jazz and so on, which was quite a rage at that time in Vienna, and had very gotten very much hold of him. And he had been with the group in Australia and came for a concert in America and was stuck there because the war had broken out in the meantime. And so he said, we will go with you and pay part of the rent. So he came, and I think one of his comedian harmonist friends. And my mother did the cooking, and so we were there. And then we had other people too who rented rooms because there were so many. And so we spent the summer there. And it was, of course, a wonderful, beautiful house. And for the first time in his life, Eric had a workroom. As you could not imagine a more beautiful one. It had a piano. And outside was a cherry tree, and you looked over the sound. It was just beautiful. And here he began to work on his opera again. And I think part of his great hope and confidence in his coming in America was that he had this book, and that was always his great desire, to have a book, to write an opera, and there he had he saw the right book. And the first act had been finished by Kafka.
I see, the libretto.
Libretto. And so here he finished the libretto. When the fall came, at the end of the summer, the lady, one of the sisters, came. And the house was full of antiques and beautiful things. And my mother was always very fond of this. You see our furniture, you have seen it. Her great love in life, you know, these things. And she collected it herself. So she felt so at home, and she took such good care of all this. And the lady saw that, and she said, "Why don't you stay on? I'll give it to you for the same price." She even left it for $60. And stay on. And so we persuaded my mother to stay on, though she was reluctant to do so, because it had its disadvantages, because it was away from the city, and the living you could only make in the city. And so even $60 were a lot of money, you know, even though we found some people who rented rooms and made it, but it was still, you know, because in the winter you have to heat, and the heating cost a lot of money. To heat such a big house was very expensive, and everything, the telephone, or when you went to the city, it cost money to go there. It was a dollar's fare, and at that time was terrific, because for 30 cents you could have a meal for three people.
That's
amazing. You know, a pound of hamburger cost about 30 cents, I think not even. And 3 pounds of peaches cost 14 cents. I remember the prices, because they were, you know, money was a great rare commodity. So when I went shopping, I remember prices, you know. Now I wouldn't really remember it. So, I mean, Eric was very happy. But he had also been happy in this miserable room. We had, through the recommendation of a friend, we had gotten in this room, in this old room, you know, we had gotten a piano, an old piano, that was given to us. It was standing in some basement of some apartment house. And for transporting it, we could have it.